Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For many people, unfortunately, the tremendous advances of human learning and technology that have been made in recent years and decades have made the idea of God seem to be outdated and unnecessary, a myth or a fairy tale from an unsophisticated time when people just simply didn't know as much as we enlightened people know today. They think about and they look at all the modern miracles of medicine and of computer science and of so many other fields. Those things that just simply bewilder our minds as we stop and think about everything that has been achieved over in the recent years and decades. Things that were once only featured in science fiction novels or movies or TV shows now are starting to become a reality. Artificial intelligence, for example, self-driving cars. Who would have thought? From the wonders of space exploration, planning now a trip to another planet in the future, to all of the intricacies of microbiology. It appears to some people that humankind has moved so far beyond the need for the idea of a God. People no longer hesitate to ask and to ask openly, what's so great about God? And in fact, the now deceased famous atheist, Christopher Hitchens, wrote a book in which he put his answer to that question in the title of the book, saying, God is not great. But of course, we as believers who have experienced God's love and forgiveness in our lives, we know all about what it is that makes God great. And so we join together in this festival of the Holy Trinity with other Christians around the world today celebrating this same wonderful truth of who our God is and what he has done for us. Everything that he has done in his grace and mercy for us. We know, because of his love for us, that he deserves the praise and the worship of all people. God is simply just far beyond our ability to comprehend or to understand. In today's gospel reading that we just heard from Matthew chapter 28, we hear Jesus give the name of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, that's a pretty amazing thing all by itself. It's something that we Christians who have been coming to church and Bible study for many years, we're just so used to hearing that fact. That our God is triune. But now think about it. Think about what else God says about himself in the Bible. Over and over again, as he says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Lord is one. He says, there is no God but me. There is one Lord. And so we know that there are not thousands upon thousands of gods as some religions believe, nor is there one supreme God with many other inferior gods below him as some other religions believe. Rather, God reveals himself to us in his word as one God in three persons. Of course, that statement is illogical to our human thinking. It's contradictory to our minds and to everything that we have learned in school from the very earliest ages, as we saw in our children's message. But what else would we expect of the true God but that he would go far beyond our understanding and our comprehension? Now, because it is such a difficult concept, people have tried to find ways to illustrate that concept to help us grasp exactly what that means, or at least what it implies. And yet each of those illustrations falls far short of the reality of who God is. Going back hundreds of years, according to legend, St. Patrick, the Christian missionary to Ireland, used the three-leaf clover as an illustration of the Trinity The three leaves representing the three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet they are not three separate things, but they are one clover. Others have used the illustration of the different phases or modes of water: gas, liquid, and solid, water vapor, liquid water, and ice. They feel different, they look different temperatures, but all of them are the same essential thing, H2O. Others have used the illustration of an apple with the peel and the flesh and the core or the seeds of the apple. And another illustration that is commonly seen in Christian artwork is just the illustration of a triangle or of a three-cornered or a three-sided shape. Because there are three points or three sides, but there is only one shape. However, all of these illustrations, when we really think of them and try to compare them exactly to the triune God, all of them actually fall short of the reality of who God is and the relationships of those persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so in the end, as although some illustrations might be helpful for our understanding, in the end we simply fall down in adoration and in praise of our glorious God. And we confess, as we will following the sermon, in the words of the Athanasian Creed, this is the true Christian faith. We worship one God in three persons and three persons in one God, without mixing the persons or dividing the divine being. For each person, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is distinct. But the deity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory and co-eternal in majesty. And so we come back to that question: what is so great about God? Well, it's not only that He, in His very being, is so far beyond our understanding and our comprehension, but He's also great because of what He has done and what He is still doing for us and in the world and the universe today. Yes, humans have discovered amazing things about this world and about the universe, and we've been able to harness some of the power of nature to work for us. Think about nuclear energy or the energy that comes from fossil fuels. Think about the concentrated light energy in the form of a laser. Think about the pharmaceuticals that work such wonders in fighting off illnesses and in aiding us in our physical ailments. But human beings can only discover those things and only harness and use those things. God alone is the creator of these things. As we heard in our first lesson, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, despite all that is written today about where the world came from and where human beings came from, still the best explanation, and according to the laws of probability, the only one that is actually possible, is still the simple fact that God made all that exists. And so, as the book of Hebrews says, by faith we know that the universe was created by God's word, so that what is seen did not come from visible things. And so, as we think about it, if people are to be praised for their amazing accomplishments, think of all the people who have made advancements in science and technology, and how we esteem them so highly. Now think about how much more we should join with the psalm writer in praising God who created all things, the whole universe. In Psalm 104, verse 24, how many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. And so while people sail through life and take pride in what they have gained or what they have accomplished, the fact is that we exist and we have such abundant blessings only because our good and gracious God has created us and given us our abilities and provides for us and preserves and protects us. We have life, we have being only because God maintains it. We have what is necessary for life. And our efforts in life are rewarded with success only because God makes it possible and blesses that in our lives. We can do all the planning in the world, all the planning for the future things that we would like to achieve, the successes we would like to see, the things we would like to do in our lives. But it is finally only our God who decides what shall be and when it shall happen. And so finally, we must agree with the Apostle Paul when he says in Acts chapter 17 about the one true God, in him we live and move and have our being. And so the opposite is true. Without him, we are literally nothing. What's so great about God? Well, so far we've considered who God is and what he has done and what he is still doing for us. And all of that is already enough to overwhelm us and to fill us with gratitude, to fall down and praise him for his greatness. But as we learn to know about him from his holy word, we quickly realize that the greatest, the most amazing thing of all about God is the wonderful love that he has shown to us through his son, Jesus, our Savior. Of all the wonderful things that we might seek to know about our great and wonderful God, yet we don't really know him until we have come face to face with the simple truth that above all else, God is love. Love is not merely a characteristic of God. Love is his very nature. It is his essence. Now, as we think about society and the world today and the events of the world, sadly, many people will categorically reject that idea, any statement about the love of God. People will point to all the evil, all the pain, and all the suffering and death of the world around us today. Think about tragic death that we have seen, heartrending, as a man's life bleeds out before our eyes. Think about the great turmoil and terror, vandalism and looting that has taken place that has only harmed innocent people, especially the very poor of society in many places. Think about the sickness, the death, and the utter financial ruin that has resulted from a worldwide pandemic. We look at all these things and we say, if God really is love, then how can he allow these horrible things to happen to so many people? Well, very honestly, we just simply don't fully understand why God allows to happen what he allows to happen. And we're better off just admitting that fact rather than trying to explain it away or to rationalize it, because we simply don't and can't understand. But this much we do know, that God has demonstrated his love for us in a way that simply overrides any question at all to the contrary, because he himself died for us in an excruciating, horribly painful way, bearing on himself all the sins of the whole world in order to deliver us from the worst, most destructive problem of all, our sin and its eternal consequence of hell. That is the message, and that is the meaning of all that Jesus was and all that he did. To understand what God has done, try to picture it like this. Out there in the eternity of his existence, God already knew the future and knew what would happen. And he decided what he would do about the sin and disobedience of mankind, that threaten to stand forever as a dividing wall between the gracious Creator and the most special and prized of His creatures. So God decided that God the Son would be sent on a rescue mission into the world. Because Jesus is true God from true God, He would have full authority to do whatever He needed to accomplish that deliverance of all mankind from that eternally fatal infection of sin. And so that is why Jesus can say, as He did in the final words of our reading today, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And so as the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 4, "When the set time had fully come, God sent His Son to be born of a woman, so that He would be born under the law, in order to redeem those under the law, so that we would be adopted as sons." Just think of that amazing love of God that was in action in Jesus. God Himself was entering the world that He had created as one of His own creatures that He had created. In His mission on this planet, Jesus had two objectives. First, He was to live a truly human life as a representative of all people who would ever live, to face every temptation that people would ever face, to bear every burden that we would ever face, and through it all, to remain totally sinless under the grinding demands of God's law, which demand perfection. And second, God's Son was to sacrifice His own sinless life in death, suffering Himself the wages of sin as if He were the one who was guilty of sinning against God, of every possible sin imaginable. Because the iniquity of every one of us, of every single person who has ever lived and ever will live on the earth, was all laid on Him when He died on the cross. The New Testament of the Bible, especially the four gospel books, tells us how Jesus fully and completely carried out His mission. From His birth in the stable in Bethlehem to His agonizing death on the cross and His burial in the tomb. And then as a stamp of God's approval and acceptance on all that Jesus had done, on that mission that He had accomplished, God raised Jesus from the dead in that glorious victory of Easter morning. And 40 days later, Jesus returned to the right hand of God the Father and to the full divine glory that had been His from eternity when He ascended triumphantly into heaven. But there's still one more step in the amazing grace of our God. All those for whom Jesus lived and died had to hear about what He had accomplished, so that by believing in Him with trusting hearts, they would receive that gift of the forgiveness of sins and a new and eternal life with God the Father in heaven. And so as we saw in our reading today from Matthew chapter 28, just before Jesus' grand return into heaven, His ascension into heaven, Jesus gathered His disciples around Him and gave them the authority to baptize in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to teach in the name of God Himself everything that Jesus had taught them, so that people who are called to faith in Jesus would be sealed in their salvation and would grow in faith in Jesus and in Christian lives. Making disciples, gathering disciples, is still the number one challenge confronting the Christian church. A challenge that demands and deserves an all-consuming effort from each and every one of us who know Jesus as our Savior, who know His great love for us. What's so great about God? Well, to this very day, He is continuing His promise given to those first disciples. "Surely I am with you always, until the very end of the age." By the powerful working of God the Holy Spirit, which Jesus and God the Father have bestowed on God's people, The Lord continues to have his word of life and of salvation proclaimed throughout the world. He continues to touch the hearts of men and women and children and bring them to faith through that good news of forgiveness and salvation. He continues to make people his very own by adopting them into his family. Finally, he continues to work in them a life of service and of glorifying our triune God. Praise God. Praise our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that he has worked all of this in each of us. And pray that he will keep on rescuing people from their sins until this world ends. Praise our triune God for his great mercy and love. Amen.